I'd like to call the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District regular meeting to order. And if you'd all please stand for the allegiance led by Director Steele.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present with the exception of President Graves.
Thank you. Okay, it's time for public comment. Just like to read, during public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time the item is before the board for consideration. Any persons wishing to speak must come up and speak to the board at the podium, please, for recording purposes, and we'll have a 3-minute time limit. I have a couple of cards, so Bill Helfrick.
Good evening, board. How's everybody tonight? I'd like to try and start opening a discussion on the cost of the community center. And I had the ability to listen to your meeting with the Greenleaf consultant. That was interesting. So in that audio, it was stated that of the $600-some-thousand that you received in allocation of property tax revenue, so about $300,000 to subsidize the cost. I listened to him walk you through all the possible suggestions of how to raise more revenue, things like sin taxes and all these things you can't do. And you admitted that you were probably limited on your ability to implement most of the suggestions that he had thrown out at that time. For the last 6 months, the 6 months into December 31st, 2017, the landscaping lighting revenue was $48,000 in excess of the expenses. So positive, that's good. However, the community center, the expenses exceeded the revenue by $180,000. So in the 6 months into 12/31/2017, there's been almost $132,000 deficit. The budgeted revenue and expenses for Zone A for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2018, are in excess of expenses for the lighting and landscape by approximately $178,000. While the community center has expenses in excess of revenue of $241,000. Again, combined, even in your budget, there's an operating deficit of almost $62,000. So, the actual combined deficit for the first 6 months right now stands at twice what you budgeted for the whole year. As I think that we need to open a discussion that, as well as looking for more revenue, we should be trying to find ways to maybe cut expenses. I'd like to see if there's a way to reach out to the Discovery Bay residents to get their opinions on the use of this tax revenue at this level for to sustain the communities.
Thank you. Brian Gutro. Did I say that right, Brian?
Gutro, that's fine. Good evening, board. Actually, I'm following up with another item regarding the community center. I have a different approach, at least my suggestion is, we need to spend some money on the lighting out there. I know there's no money, but it's almost a safety issue just coming to the parking lot. And I'm just very concerned that year after year, and we've been very fortunate nothing's happened, but as we're doing more events, there's more activities taking place here, it's a dangerous situation, and I don't know where you guys are gonna do, but you gotta come up with the money and somehow fix the lighting out there in the parking lot. So I'll do that summer jam concert. It's not gonna help out a lot, but anything that we can do to help out is from the Lions Club, more than happy to. But please, if you look at it this year, that'd be great.
Thank you. That's right. Any other public comments? Seeing no other comments, I'll close the public comments. Move on to C1 through 5 on the consent calendar.
Move approval consent calendar.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Area agency reports, we've been notified that Diane Burgess's office had, we're detained and not able to come to this meeting, so Sheriff's Office report, please.
For the month of February, we had 581 calls for service for the 41 reports that I show here. We had, for last month, February, we had 7 arrests made in the Discovery Bay area. Property crimes, we had 3 of them, 3 vandalisms. 1 residence, window was broken. It was a double pane window. The outside window was broken. The inside was fine. One of them, kind of a domestic issue. One party decided to put a few holes in a wall. The other vandalism was the person woke up, found the window busted in the vehicle, and 3 of the tires were deflated. Theft from vehicles, we had a total of 3 of them in the month of February. All of them were left unlocked, and the items were taken out of the vehicles. We had no residential burglaries, knock on wood, last month, which was good. And we also had a trailer that was parked during the day over in the marina area. The owner came back and the tires were taken off of the trailer. We had 4 reported identity thefts last month in February. And then we also had 2 reported attempted frauds. And I say it was attempted fraud offense because the person had a monitoring in place for the credit, and they were notified by the monitoring company that, hey, somebody's trying to open up an account. So they were able to stop 2 accounts from being opened and get information, which is pretty good. So for the resident side of the house, the resident deputies, we had 106 traffic stops last month in February with 2 resident deputies, which is really good. They were really doing their thing. The community service officer was responsible for about 163 parking incidences for last month. So with that said, anything particular or any questions that you guys might have about any of this?
I just have one question on the parking citation. That sounds like a bunch.
Yeah, and what I mean by parking incidents, I'm talking about all the ones that come in from this car's been parking here for more than 3 days, or here's a trailer, or here's expired tags, or him running around looking at missing plates, or anything of that. Any kind of parking issue with a vehicle sitting on the roadway that is in violation of some type of a parking thing.
Of the 106 stops, how many resulted in citations? Did you say that?
The citations itself, I think we looked at, I think it was around 30, almost
about
29-ish, around 29. And these numbers are give or take based off of what the system spits out and what we're looking at.
That's it. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, sir. Oh, there's a new system I was going to let you guys know. We're teaming up, we haven't made the press release yet, but LexisNexis, we're teaming up with them, and they have this nice system online. If you go to, it's called communitycrimemap.com, communitycrimemap.com. It's a LexisNexis-based system. And the reason I mention this is because it's an updated system. We update it at least 3 times a day. And when you go into that system, it's open to the public, and all our calls for service, all our reports go to, and it's a lot better. It's there. You can see the calls that come up for us now.
Is that like real time? I mean, is that coming
almost
up?
Almost. I mean, literally, one of the officers, I checked it today.
Yeah.
One of the officers went to a call that we had today. Within 2 hours, I pulled it up, and there was the DR number. So it's loading up pretty quick. They told me we upload to it at least 3 times a day, so I'm expecting an 8 to 9 hour lag.
Yeah.
I might have just caught it right at the great time. But I'm looking at maybe within a day, and at least you'll have at least one that incident is. So we're trying our best. And of course, you can always contact and we'll make contact with you and tell them what we know. All right, guys?
Thank you, guys.
CHP report, Officer Thomas.
Hello, Board. Officer Thomas with the Highway Patrol. The activity we had for the month of February was arrest-wise, we had 4 DUI arrests, one for a hit-and-run collision, and one for driving on suspended license. The citations that were issued out here were 26 for speed, 7 for reg, 2 for seat belt, 2 stop sign, 4 for equipment violations, 7 other, which would be like cell phones, and then 1 for other rules of the road. That's what we have here. That's my report. If you guys have any questions,
it's a good job.
Yeah,
excellent. Doing great.
Keep working.
Thank you.
Looking good.
That covers the area agency reports. Council, could I get your guidance on this?
Yes, you can.
I did see C instead of G.
Yep, no problem. So you've got a member of the public that'd like to speak on the consent calendar item. You've already taken action, but should you have a different opinion after you hear a comment, we can go back and figure that out. But I'd suggest that you take the comment, at least from the public, on the consent calendar item.
Thank you for the guidance. Bill? My apologies for missing that.
No problem. It's just me being me. I want you to, it's just my opinion that I don't agree that a pay increase, which was hammered out in closed session without the ability to give public input or comment, should be considered by the district to be routine and to be allowed to be enacted without giving some information as to how and why the pay increase was determined and agreed to. Sticking this item in the approval, sticking this as an approval item in the consent calendar, to me, based on the way you do consent calendar, is an effort to obfuscate what's going on. That was a reasonably good pay increase, and I think the people probably should, one, be informed about it, and two, maybe by law you can do this in closed session, but I think you should try and get some input from some people.
Thank you. Discussion?
I think the gentleman Andrew did a great job. The remuneration was well earned.
If I might.
Yes.
So it is appropriately put in closed session after the City of Bell, though a line of cases, you no longer can take action in closed session, so that's why we put an item on the agenda. Had we not missed the comment card, the public comment would have been received before you took action. That is the appropriate time to discuss it, so it's not like we're hiding it. It still is on the agenda. The staff report's there, the agreement's in the packet as well, and as you've all heard, this is taking it back to when Rick Howard was here, and we're still at a 2015 rate for your general manager, so it's fairly innocuous in terms of the change in the contract, but it is appropriately handled in that manner. We probably should have obviously pulled it off with the comment, but we've received the comment, and the public's had an opportunity to comment on it.
And the comment's appreciated all. Okay, moving on to business and actions. Item G1, discussion of possible action regarding the proposal to amend ordinance number 7, an ordinance of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. A California Community Service District amending ordinance number 7, water regulations and service ordinance.
Yes, I'm going to bring Dina up to talk about the work we've been doing to amend ordinance number 7.
So as you've known a little bit about ordinance number 7, so water ordinance, and due to the changes that we've had for infrastructure, putting in water meters, drought regulations, and some other concerns that we've had with our water ordinance that has been in the system for I don't know how many years, it was time to take a look at it and update it. So over the course of probably 7 months or more, staff worked with legal and we went through every line item of the water ordinance and we've updated it and we presented it to you today with both the old ordinance and the new ordinance. and we are asking to waive the full reading of the ordinance because it is quite lengthy. But if you do approve this tonight or to move forward tonight, we're going to open up a public hearing, and that will be held on the next board meeting, which is March 21st. If you approve it at that board meeting, there 30 days after that, the ordinance will take effect. So, do you have any questions?
Could you highlight, I know because of water meters.
Yes.
And being able to monitor, could you highlight the areas in the ordinance that kind of affect those and what we're now going to be implementing if we go with it?
I could. We basically overhauled almost the entire ordinance. Some of the issues that we did have that I was very concerned with was the renter situation. And so now we used to just bill the property, and our ordinance was fairly weak in fighting some of those issues where renters would just walk on the rent, and now it goes back to the property owner, and nobody wanted to pay the bill. So this kind of buttons that up a little bit. So when it comes to renters now, we have more strength and hold for those types of situations and other situations where individuals try to not pay their water and disappear. So we can now legally go after them and reclaim the money. So that was a major concern.
Good. Any other questions?
Good, thank you.
Okay, with that, I'll open it up for public comment. And I know, Bill, you've got G1.
I took the time to read the thing, so I will give you my impression of what was going on. Provision 1.11, I believe it gives too much power to the general manager to the board. I believe that the homeowners of Discovery Bay should have a way that they don't have to waive their legal rights in our judicial system, including possible binding arbitration over disputes. It seems like this ordinance is set up that you set up the ordinance and you will enforce it and you will arbitrate it. So all power is in one spot. Provision 2.27. To me, this provision is vague and ambiguous. It talks about flooding, but what will be the definition of flooding? It just says flooding. Is it water that's sitting a quarter inch deep? Is it a half inch deep? Is it 1 inch deep? It talks about runoff. What will constitute runoff in gutters? Will it be some kind of a water flow that 0.001 gallons per hour, 0.5 gallons per hour? Will it be 1 gallon per hour? There's no, this says runoff. So you can walk by and you see a little water there, we're in violation. I wanted to know who is going to be the water policeman that would be looking for these. And they're called unreasonable and non-beneficial use of water in the ordinance. Provision 17.02. This provision gives the town of Discovery Bay CSD the right to disconnect service to a violator of the vague and ambiguous provisions of 2.27. So it seems like the only remedy in this for these violations of unreasonable use of water is a disconnect. I know you can't charge tiered water rates because of court cases regarding you can only charge for what it actually cost you to produce the water. So you have no ability to penalize someone for excess water use through fees. Provision 22.01. Apparently, meter testing must be initiated by the customer. I believe that there should be a provision requiring the town to have ongoing random testing of the water meter acts. You see the gas stations, all their pumps, they have a sticker that says they're actively pumping the right amount of gas. I think that there should be some system in place that checks that our water meters are operating properly. Section 331, it's three subsections of section 31. Again, I believe it's giving too much authority to the general manager and the board of directors. The decision of a general manager on an appealed item can be appealed to the board. However, you only have 3 days to make that appeal. Is there a way for my written comments to become part of the record?
Yep, just submit them to the clerk.
you, Bill. Any other public comment on this item? There are no other public comment. I'll close the public comment.
And Mr. Vice President, if I can make a couple comments here.
Yes.
Thank you. So Dina's correctly identified the process, but I just want to make sure we're clear on why this process is a little bit convoluted and complex in terms of the ordinance, just to refresh your recollection in terms of how ordinance adoption goes. So at this meeting here, this is the opportunity for you to introduce the ordinance. We've done so. You did so by your reading of the item itself. We're introducing it. It's included in your packet. The second step is to waive the full reading. So you can choose to, if somebody on the board said, no, I want to hear the whole thing read, choose to read it into the record. It comes out of the old legislature and trying to pass bills and things like that, you read them into the record. So you'll take action here tonight to waive the first reading and direct staff to place it in the newspaper. We have to post a summary of the ordinance 5 days in advance of your meeting on the 21st. It'll be done much sooner than 5 days. We've just met with your clerk, and your clerk's indicated that she has to get it in on Thursday of this week, tomorrow, to have it published on Tuesday of next week. So it'll be published Tuesday of next week that you're having a public hearing to consider adoption of the ordinance itself. And that adoption consideration will occur on the 21st. You have received comments tonight. You've obviously read the ordinance yourself, as it's included in your packet. And this is that opportunity, should you decide or should you direct us to pick any of those items and make additional changes, now would be the opportunity to do so. So if you're interested in having us make additional revisions to the ordinance that you have before you, now would be the time to direct us to do so. We can also do that on the night of the 21st, should there be additional concerns or additional comments. It just becomes a little bit more complicated in terms of whether there's substantial changes or significant changes that would require us to re-notice and do the hearing again. The changes that you have here are obviously most of what's in the new ordinance is policy issues. You're free to make those kind of policy decisions as you see fit. You're hearing from the public as to maybe possible consideration for additional policy changes. Andy Panosco of our office is here as well. Dina and him did the bulk of the heavy lifting. Mike and I think were called in at the 11th hour and asked to help review it, and I stepped out early and let the three of them figure it out. So Andy's here to answer any additional questions that you may have about some of the changes, or if you want to go through any of the additional changes that you have, we're happy to do so as well. Last comment that I'll make is there is a typo or an error within your staff report. It says that the ordinance becomes effective 30 days after adoption. It's not quite accurate. It's 30 days after publication after adoption. So if we have our meeting on the 21st, obviously you can't publish your action on the night of the 21st. Likely you're going to have the same situation where you've got to get it into the newspaper on Thursday and it's published the following week. So if it's published on the 3rd or 4th, it would be 30 days from the date of publication, not 30 days from date of adoption. So just want to make that correction. It's in your staff report for you and for the public as well. With that, I have no other comments and can answer any questions, or can have Andy answer any questions for you.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. Questions? Comments?
Yeah. Quick question on the public comment about the ability of the general manager and the board to be the final arbitrator of decisions, violations, etc. Could you give us a background of other cities and other municipalities and how we're kind of the same along those lines?
Thank you, Board. So what this is the administrative procedure that's required for the public that would have a claim against the town for any sort of a problem that they have with the ordinance itself, such as overbilling, meter problems, wrongful violations. It's an administrative procedure that's required before that they can make a claim in the civil court against the town. So most municipalities and most other towns have an administrative procedure required prior to being able to claim underneath the Government Claims Act.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
I'll note as well that I can't think of another public agency that I have that delegates this to some other body or some other authority. So I'm not exactly sure where else you would put it. And you've got an opportunity in the Government Tort Claim Act to make a claim. He is the first arbiter of that issue. If that decision is appealed, then you are the second arbiter of that. And as a member of the public, they always have the right to challenge your decision as arbitrary and capricious and bring a claim and a lawsuit. I'm not sure I can think of another way to handle it. This is fairly common. And I can tell you that we didn't reinvent the wheel here. This is stolen from a multitude of different other agencies. And so our provisions are fairly common throughout.
Thank you.
Yeah, having worked for a number of water agencies and wastewater agencies and other public agencies, this is standard operating procedure everywhere I've worked. So, thank you. Make a motion to waive the reading of the draft ordinance and to set a public hearing for March 21st, and with potential adoption of Ordinance 7, should it be approved on the 21st, to move to April 19th.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
I apologize. I'm not sure I understood the last part of that. April 19th, help me with what that is.
April 19th was adopt Ordinance 7 on April 19th, subject to the provision, subject to the completion of the public hearing.
No. So your motion should be that you're waiving the first reading of this ordinance.
Correct.
You are directing staff to post the notice in the newspaper for the public hearing scheduled for
March
21st.
Correct.
That would be it.
I will accept the amendment. I will amend my motion.
No, don't accept my amendment. Will you amend your motion? Thank you.
As stated.
Thank you.
By counsel.
Sorry about that.
Second, please.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Helfrich, because having somebody else read that lengthy document is commendable. Thank you. And thank you for the comments. Moving on to G2, discussion and possible action regarding board response to county preliminary framework for the cannabis regulation.
Yes, if you recall, at the last regular board meeting, we received a presentation from John Kopchick, who is the director of the Contra Costa County Conservation and Development Department. He went through some proposed framework of cannabis regulation for our area. And at the conclusion of the presentation, he essentially wanted board input on four fundamental questions that the county is looking for your input on. The board asked that you have some time to consider it and that he come back to receive your input tonight. And so Mr. Kopchick is here tonight, and I'll invite him to the podium and can provide it.
Any clarifying questions? No. I don't believe there's a presentation then.
No.
So he's at the podium, but I do have one card. So public comments will open up, and Bill, you're up for that one as well.
Determine how many growing sites there are. If you don't have 100 people want to try and grow cannabis and they can make a living at it, they should be allowed to. But if there's not a market for it, it'll shrink the number down. With respect to outdoor personal growth, I believe that should only be allowed on lots that are at least 1 acre. There should be a maximum of 6 plants allowed to be grown under cultivation. There should be some, they shouldn't be visible from the street. I believe that there should be some security fencing around this outdoor growing area. I was in agreement with the setbacks buffer zone. I would suggest, though, that the buffer zone for residential areas
is provided a form last time. There's an online survey, and
I don't know if it's possible, but rather than setting up another bureaucratic agency regarding the distribution and sale of the cannabis products, could it not be regulated by the Alcohol Beverage ABC that's already in existence? Dealing with them as though you deal with liquor licenses.
He passed out a form last time that people can submit
Retail sales of cannabis, rather than going through a whole new methodology. It may be that this has to be at a county level, you have to be regulated at a state level. I think that there should be some kind of age requirement of at least 21 to purchase any cannabis product. I didn't see where there was any provision for that. And finally, I do agree that there should be some kind of taxation on this, one to generate revenue to do the enforcement. Again, it's just ideas, but for retail sales, I think the taxes should be at least 4 or 5 times whatever the tax rate is on a pack of cigarettes. And tax the heck out of those, we should tax the, find a method to tax the retail product the same way. As far as growers and manufacturers and wholesalers, I think there should be a tax, but it should be on their gross revenue, not on some kind of net income that's hard to enforce. And I would believe that you would want to set a tax rate somewhere between 10% and 20%. And I have another red light, sorry.
Thank you. Through the chair. I believe, Mr. Kopchak, that individual citizens can access the cannabis website and complete a survey that is online, and I would encourage Mr. Helfrich and anyone else to make those comments known on the website.
I did. Thank you. Any other public comments? Seeing none, I'll close public comments and turn to the board. What I believe we have 4 questions, and it's the second to last page we have on that document. If you turn to that, I believe it's my opinion that the board should try to address these. And if it's okay with the board, I will ask each of the board members to give their comments and then ask that the staff consolidate those comments. Hopefully, they're fairly close. I'll pass those off to the county.
Okay.
Director Steele?
I don't agree with any caps. I think it should be market driven as well. And I think the 1,000-foot threshold of the safety buffer zone is a good idea. And I would say that taxing in the range of 10% or less would be more. I would say the county should be taxing it. So that's my opinion.
Can you
What page you're on? Just for the sake of our general manager to capture this stuff. Did you go through each of the questions and just give your comments?
I did.
What page are you looking at?
Second to last page on the booklet. It's the community input needed. It has the 4 questions.
I'm having trouble finding it.
He's got another one right here.
There.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah. We'll send your packet over here.
Okay. So, right. Director Steele.
All right. So, having a framework skill. Residential buffers, I think 1,000 feet is probably where it should be. As far as caps, I don't agree. I think that Mr. Helfrich and some other people talked about having caps be more market driven and not limited by size of lots. Outdoor personal grow, I think larger parcels maybe and keep it hidden and out of access for people that are underage.
So, thank you. Any questions from staff on that. You got everything?
Got it.
Okay.
I don't agree with any of it. I think it's legalizing marijuana in the state of California is one of the biggest mistakes we're going to see 50 years from now, just due to the fact that the input and the of young children being exposed to the smoking in the fifth and sixth grade, eating edible things, so it's totally the wrong thing that should have been done. I think it's another bureaucratic mess. As far as the reaction to your framework, I think the county has done what they need to do. There's a framework that needs to be worked out somehow, some way, so I agree with it. I'm a little more restrictive as far as sensitive residential buffers. I'd like to see 3 miles. As far as caps, 2. Outdoor personal grow, no. Marijuana is not going to be the solution to the revenue problem that California has. And you can start to take a look at Colorado and see that there's more automobile accidents and other issues cropping up. So I'm against the whole thing anyway. But there's my opinion.
Good. Very good. Yes, sir. Questions?
Got it. Thank
Got
you.
It.
No, this isn't going to work.
Director Lee.
Okay. I have just a couple of comments on the overall reaction to the framework. I appreciate all the work the county's done. They've done, I think, a commendable job. With that said, though, the devil's always in the details. With regard to the sensitive side, residential buffers, 1,000 feet around schools and all this, that's fine. But also talking to other people who, it's an anecdotal, but they're friends of friends who live perhaps up in the northern part of the state and the counties where they have large growing operations. The stench is pretty bad during times. So I think, they need to be miles away from the town of Discovery Bay. I think just in terms of the quality of life that we enjoy, I don't want to have to be subjected to odors that I don't really need to be. With regard to caps, I think the market will take care of it, but so I think the fewer the better. In terms of outdoor personal growth, I know that there's 6 plants are allowed. I would hope that the county would make sure that's indoor growing only. So we don't have to worry about fences, we don't have to worry about security, you lock your doors and your plants are safe. Also with regard to that, I would hope that the county would look at something with regard to outdoor use as well. I know when I'm sitting in my backyard enjoying a summer evening here, I guess, there are certain things I'd like to enjoy, like the fragrance of flowers, but if my neighbor's smoking pot next yard, I'm not going to appreciate it very much. So I hope that they would give some consideration to the quality of life of people that don't particularly want to participate in that activity. So I think that's the bullet points in my opinion.
Got it. Well, I'll conclude by saying that the overall reaction of the framework, I think, is well thought through for the time limit that you have, and I appreciate the amount of information that you passed off to us. I agree with Director Leek and Director Pease on the buffers. I had down 2 miles, 3 miles is even better. I'm looking at the maps that you presented last meeting. It pretty much said we aren't going to have much activity, if any, at all within Discovery Bay on this. But I also look at the children going to Excelsior. They have to drive down towards the Oasis and Geno's. There was a smoke shop that opened there across from both of those, catty-cored into those, and I would hate to see retail going into there because on the way to school it subjects our children to seeing that. I'd like to keep that away as long as we can. Prop was voted in by the state of California, and we aren't going to stop it, so I understand that. But put some fairly tight restrictions on it initially, is my thought. Caps, I agree the market will come out whatever the market bears, but initially, walk before you run. Keep the caps very tight. Initially, release it slowly, and let's see how this works out. This is new to everybody. Except for Colorado, maybe we can learn by them. Outdoor personal grow, no, I don't believe we should have it. Security, you had mentioned security, Bill. I don't think you're going to have security. You can't put fences up to stop who's going to come into the yard. keep it indoors. If you've got a greenhouse, it's their job to secure that greenhouse, otherwise they lose their profits. So keep it indoors. And I believe that's it.
The only thing I'm missing is Director Leeds, a comment regarding the overall reaction to the framework.
It mirrors what Director Mayor said. I think it was well thought out, but I think it was comprehensive. Again, there's devils in the details, and I think I made my little points about that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, with this.
So, yep, that's what I was going to say. How would you like us to proceed? Because we've got differing opinions here, and you've got different caveats. You can't send an item to the county that says we've got three members that would like to see caps and one member that wants to see the market. We want one member that's fine with the setbacks, but we've got another member that wants 3 miles. So if you're going to take and send a letter like you do on your applications when you receive them from the county on like McDonald's or any of those others, so you say, we have these following comments, we're going to need clear direction on what the board would like to send collectively. It only takes a majority to decide to send a letter of that effect, but if you want to come up with some points, we could look at the items that you have here, see if we could consolidate them and put them together. I saw that at least three of you had the same thing on one area, two of you had the same on another, so we need some further direction. So, if you want to send a letter from the sure. board, the other option would be you've made your comments as individuals and the county and the district has no additional comments that they're sending to the county and let John do with it what he may.
John has
it. And you're still free to send your own individual comments.
I like the last option you guys
think. I think you're going to have trouble coming to consensus on this one, but that's just my read of it.
The last one, please define that again.
So the last one would be that you've each made your comments on the record as individual. We will have no direction from this board as a unified answer to John, but you'd have individual answers. He's heard the individual answers. I saw him hold up the sheet. He'll take those and do with them as he will. But Discovery Bay, as a CSD, will have no opinion on this.
Would it be appropriate, though, for the town of Discovery Bay to send in all of our opinions and send it in? These were the individual opinions of the town of Discovery Bay board of directors. So at least they're on the record as coming from the town. We may not have a consensus whether it's 2 feet or 3 miles, but they would hear on the record, on a piece of paper, here's what was said. It's a record of what was the five directors reported.
So if I could ask John, could you come to the mic there? And I would ask you that question that Director Lee just posed. It's not so much a question as it was a statement that, can you take what you heard here tonight, if we consolidated that, could you take that instead of from an individual, but from the board as a whole? And I realize that there's difference of opinions on the setbacks. There's some that don't want to see it at all, but to give guidance. Can you consolidate that, put that together as a package?
We can, and I leave it to you as to whether you, let me tell you the trade-offs of the different approaches. So keep in mind, we're meeting with all the other communities as well, and so it's gonna, you know, there'll be a long list, but there's ultimately gonna be a table, and it will say, you know, each community and what they think, and it gets hard to summarize when the community input is sort of divided. We'll probably have to put a footnote and say, you know, see next page. And so it will maybe not have as much impact. But I don't think you'd be the only community that responds that way.
Okay.
Although we have had some, I think many of them, I mean, I haven't been to as many as my colleagues, but many of them have actually suffered through it and said, okay, this is our consensus on each one. Or not consensus, but okay, you know, two of us vote this way, two of us vote that way, or, you know, hopefully it's not tied. So I think it's really up to you about how you want your feedback to be recorded. To the extent it's more powerful coming from the whole group, but if it's hard to reach consensus, then it's also, I mean, you are the, you know, elected representatives of your community. So, and then the question of whether, if you decide to go with the path of just reporting what each of you thinks, I took pretty good notes. I know what you're talking about. I imagine that Mike also knows what you're talking about. But if you put it on a letterhead, then something's more officially in the file as opposed to my notes that we enter into a database.
I think I'd like to do one attempt. I agree. I think a letter that the board voted such and so way has a little more weight with supervisors. and I understand we all don't have the same opinion, but I'd like to task staff and legal to try and summarize what we've heard a little bit and see if we can't put it on the next agenda as a staff recommendation based on what we've heard, and see if we can't have a discussion at that next meeting and come to some sort of a vote to be able to send an official letter.
And that is the question. So you want to send one official letter. The Board of Directors of Town Discovery Bay took action and has the following comments on the cannabis framework.
Correct.
And I'm going to go through then, and Mike and I will look at the what you gave us and identify those that are common. If we can find three people that all said the same thing, then I should put that in a letter. If only two people said it and two people said something different, then I shouldn't put that in a letter. Got it.
Well, at least give us that analysis so that we can discuss it amongst ourselves and maybe get to a three vote and then formalize the letter.
Mike, we could draft a letter with that options in it. So for the first question, what is your overall reaction? I thought I saw two positions.
There's three. There's
three separate positions.
We might be able to do this tonight if I run through what I think I summarize.
Please,
if
yeah.
I can.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is your overall reaction to the framework? We had Director Peace, I don't agree with any of it, and I had three people say that we thought it was very well thought through, essentially. So we had three people saying that.
Yeah, I don't. What I meant by saying I don't agree with any of it means I don't agree with the proposition that was passed. I do agree that the framework was well thought out, and there was a process given, et cetera.
Great.
So we have all four people with the same answer on that. The next issue was sensitive site residential buffers. We had one director say 1,000 feet, another director say 3 miles, another director say miles away from Discovery Bay, and another director say 3 miles. So basically, I'm thinking miles away from DP, we're looking somewhere around 3 miles. So we might have three people agreeing on that.
I'm for three, but I don't know if we got two of the
books. 2 miles is what I had picked, and I believe that got it out of the realm of our area, but 3 miles is fine.
I don't want to smell it, so whatever that distance is, I'm going to be really happy. I'll be happy with it.
Okay.
So whether it's one, two, or three, but away.
Okay. Well, we need three votes to each.
Director,
and the proposal was 70 feet. We go with the proposal.
1,000 feet is not enough for me. I couldn't sell my 1,000 feet. So that'd be close to your house, but I don't know.
All right, whatever you need for that.
So,
Director Lee, you had said 3 miles?
No, I said miles.
Miles.
And I didn't give it. I could live with two if I'm not sure what three is going to do different than two, but.
Two votes for two.
I've got no comment.
Okay,
so we've got 2 miles is what we're looking for feedback on decision on that. Caps. We had some that said no caps. We had one that said two. Someone that said fewer the better. And one that said keep caps tight and release them slowly.
Need another.
Well, this is a difficult one. And John, I turn to you again. This is a new game, and there is no reference point for us to look at. We don't know if there'll be a request for 10,000 of these. We don't know if there's two. So if we say arbitrarily two, and there's really 500 out there that want it, we're unrealistic.
Yeah, and I mean, if we do caps, we'd be considering a different number of caps for each type of use. So if we had like cultivation, that might be a larger cap because those are basically farms, you know. But stores, that might be a smaller cap, because how many of those do you need? You don't need, you know, 100. Do you need two? Do you need 10? You know, it's more that ballpark. So, you know, given kind of the direction you're going, I would say you might just talk about the concept, about whether you think caps adds makes it a better policy, or you would rather have more of a market-driven thing without caps. Because if you want to talk about caps, then you'd have to say, okay, we think it should be 50 farms and 10 stores, and I mean, that may be more detail than you care to go into tonight.
Right.
Now, and with respect, just if I tap the microphone, when you're talking about the distances, I I think I understood you to say 2 miles from Discovery Bay, but you weren't necessarily recommending that as a countywide. If we had a 2 mile buffer around every residential zoning district in the county, I think it would cover the whole county in a buffer, and or nearly.
Could be a no road.
That's what they're headed for.
You asked for our comments about Discovery Bay.
Sure, if you were saying 2 miles around Discovery Bay or 2 miles from every residential zoning district in the county.
Mine was Discovery.
Discovery Bay.
Good question. And thank you for the clarification.
Mr. Vice President, I think that's a great suggestion that Mr. Kraptik just gave you in terms of concepts. So you might give us direction to put in the letter as we see that the buffer is 1,000. We would seek that you would make the buffer larger, bigger, more that, distance.
I think our comment was about the cap.
Yeah, so I'm just giving you this. I'm just giving you the generic. The 2 mile comment is it's not very helpful to them. They've got 1,000 feet in there now. So if you're looking for something more, 2 miles not likely to get accomplished. So I'm suggesting that you take John Kopchak's language and use conservative approach. You might say the same thing with caps. We would suggest or recommend that you take a conservative approach to delving out caps based on market things like that to help it, because you're going to have difficulty. I think, as John says, caps on residential, caps on retail, caps on outdoor grow, caps on.
Well, it's my problem with the buffer zone is that if you make it too small, if you make it the small one, you're never going to be able to go the other direction. Why not start wide, and if you need to tighten it, you can tighten it up later. That's great. And the same with the caps. Start low with whatever number it is and see how the program progresses and how the applications proceed and so forth.
But a point of clarification for Mr. Cobb. So if we took the maps that you have now and the sensitive zones, et cetera, that you've outlined some of 1,000 feet, what you're saying is if we take those same sensitive zones that we do and we suggest 2 miles from those sensitive zones, it would pretty much blanket the entire unincorporated area of the county, so that there would be very few locations that would be allowed to
certainly grow in any kind of urban setting. You know, so I think that it would leave only places would be places that are 2 miles from Brentwood and 2 miles from Discovery Bay and 2 miles from Myron and places, you know, far from any community. And so that's not where you would want to locate a store. You know, it wouldn't make sense. So,
well, I wasn't talking about stores. I thought we were talking about growing.
So our the way the buffers are proposed now is it's you know, we put it out there for consideration about any of those uses. So you could nuance your comment and say we think there should be a larger buffer for cultivation because we don't, you know, that's the thing that could be near Discovery Bay, and then we're worried about
that's what I'm saying.
Impacts.
Okay. So are we staying with the two miles?
Well, just a clarification. Mine was on cultivation,
and as was mine.
Because I didn't think we were going to have any sales within the.
That would be on the caps.
Right.
So we're just reviewing the 2 miles. Are we have, and the 2 miles. When you reference Brentwood is a city, and they'll make their own decisions whether it's 2 miles. It has nothing to do with the county, correct?
Correct.
As will Oakley.
Correct. But when we did the buffer maps, we buffered city residents as well.
Okay.
So I think the 2 miles from my comment was strictly about cultivation, with the understanding that within the boundaries of Discovery Bay, 1,000 feet pretty much prohibits it anywhere.
Sales.
And I would say the same thing with the 2 miles of cultivation. And I would stick to that because, even though it may sound ridiculous, you've currently got 1,000 feet on there. You can see our input is saying 1,000 feet is truly not enough. Whether it be 2 miles or 3 miles or 1 mile, that's a decision the county has to make. But our input saying let's stretch it out, I think that's good input.
For cultivation.
Yes, sir.
So a clear sentiment that's coming across that you might want to put in your letter is that though your comments about buffers for cultivation, you might want to clarify that you like that the maps don't show any sales in Discovery Bay and you support that.
That's correct.
Correct.
Okay. Staff has that. Thank you. Okay, so caps, we've got some clarification. Any further discussion of caps?
I'm personally in favor of caps, yes. The county has to figure out how many.
Well, starts low and are giving all, build whatever the program will allow.
And I would put in the cap for cultivation, if it's 2 miles out, I'm not so worried about that. But resale, I would like zero to start in discovery.
Well, yeah, it won't be in sale.
Because of all of the mapping does?
Yes. Right.
One or two little tiny spots that somebody could withstand. The thing I was kind of concerned about is the farmers. Is there an opportunity for them to start selling more than just fruit? Please.
Yeah, so that's the concept in state law is all micro business, and that is something that's, I mean, theoretically, you know, the state would allow that, so it's something the county, so theoretically a farm could have a micro business where they grow it, package it, and sell it. That is a concept that isn't completely off the table from the county, so if you don't like that concept, that'd be another thing that you would want to include.
And obviously, I would.
I agree.
Okay. I think we agree on that. Yes?
This does the taker of the minutes.
Understand.
Have that down.
What were those things called again? Were you
micro business?
Micro business. We're against micro business sales.
Well, with the whole concept of
in this way.
Okay. Good?
In the gym.
Yes.
Are we clear enough on caps?
Hold on.
Community garden.
Regarding the caps, if I summarize the board's position, would it be correct if I said that our position is to keep caps tight and monitor them?
Perfect.
Got it.
Good. We can move on then to outdoor personal growth.
Yes.
I'm a no man.
Director Shield? Outdoor
growth?
Yes, no?
It's to the inside.
Inside.
Yeah. Outdoor.
Mine was indoor only.
Okay, and mine was as well. We're pretty standard on that.
Right. No outdoors in
personal growth.
In discovery.
Correct.
And if there would be no outdoor personal use near another property that doesn't care to partake in that.
Second hand smoke issue.
Okay, John, do you think we've captured the request that you have?
I do.
There's other things we could throw in? We could be here for another hour telling all the things we're. Okay. But not what you're looking at.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you. It's very nice. Nice to see this work this way because we don't have all the answers and we can't sit back and discuss it. So this is the point where we have to sit down and go through the details. Sometimes it sounds like we may not be sure, but I think ultimately we come up with the right answer.
Just for a direction, I will draft this letter and then bring it back to you at the next regular board meeting for your approval.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. So if nothing else, John, you brought a lot of discussion.
One second. Does that give the county enough information in a timely fashion?
Your next meeting is 2 weeks from now?
Yes,
that's okay.
Okay.
Thank you. And thank you for coming back and attending again. We'll see you in 2 weeks, maybe. You're going to be over there. Okay. G3, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of notice of completion for the water meter installation project.
Okay, I'd like to bring Justin up from Ludorf and Scalmanini, our town engineer, to give you an update on that.
I believe there was a staff report that accompanied this presentation. Okay, so everybody's probably had a chance to look at the staff report. Well, good evening, board. I'm Justin Cho with Ludorf and Scalmanini. It's nice to see you all. I'm here to provide a presentation on the water meter installation project. So it's going to be a completion summary, and specifically with regard to the approval of the notice of completion of the project so that we can approve the final retention payment to the contractor. So that's specifically what we're discussing here is the project that was completed under the contract from JW Vacco, And the release of retention for the money to JW Backer. That was what was in the staff report. And the presentation here is a little bit more detail. I'm going to keep it pretty brief, but kind of just covering the summary of the construction itself. For the details for approval of the completion of the project. And let's see here.
It might not be turned on.
Just hold the red one down.
The green, that it should show green on the side.
See it.
There it is.
Oh, good there.
Once you started to stand.
I know, exactly.
And moving right on. So what I'm going to cover in the presentation is the summary of construction, a breakdown of the meter types, the quantities that were installed, a discussion on some of the additional work that took place for the district, which was infrastructure upgrades, discussion of the work acceptance process throughout construction, and then a final closeout of the construction payments to the contractor for this work. So the Discovery Bay Meter project ultimately spanned 11 months. We kicked off in late January, and essentially the work was 11 months from February through December. The bulk of it was completed in November. There was a single final installation in December, but it was pretty much a 10-month construction window. But from very start to very finish, we had 11 calendar months. In that time, we installed 3,498 water meters. In total, they had spent 176 days working in the field, and that accounts for quite a bit of rain we got through the winter of 2017. The work was conducted in two passes. The town was separated into seven phases, and they went through phases 1 through 7 in the first pass, taking care of all of the standard type 1s and type 2 installations. And then they proceeded to a second pass of work, and that first pass was completed in August. So 90% of the installations were completed in August, which was about 6 months of the work. The remaining 10% or so of the work was done in that second pass, because those were the concrete installations, and some of the more challenging installations were done in that second pass. Throughout construction, there was different components of work that were taking place. There was the standard bid work that was provided by the contractor in the bidding documents, and that included the standard meter types. There was extra work that occurred due to obstructions that took place on individual properties, and there was also a certain amount of infrastructure upgrades that took place within the district system in order to complete the installations. So there was three different key components to the construction. In terms of the meter types, this table provides a comparison between what was bid and what was installed. And in the bid, there was some preliminary work done by staff to determine how many of the different meter types there could be in the district. And there was some amount of scouting that was done throughout the town to identify these. And ultimately, they came pretty close. They did pretty good. So we had bid 500 type 1s, 2531 type 2s, and 500 type 3s. And what were actually installed were 305 type 1s, 2650 type 2s, and 522 type 3s. So essentially, there was a few more type 2s and type 1s, maybe a little more than a few, but there were some more type 2s than there were type 1s, and some more type 3s than there were type 2s. So it did shift a little bit in that direction in terms of the final quantities. There's also some rather challenging installations that were categorized as basically special circumstance. There were some that were actually not even meter installations, they were just box resets where there was previously already was a meter, but the box was broken and they needed to get the AMI installed, and so there was work taking place. And then some of the NAs were where we may have had large trees, for example, large tree obstructions that needed to be addressed in order to install a meter. And the total count from the bid, from the scouting that the district did, was 3,531. The total installed meters was 3,498. We also logged through visiting every single parcel. There was one was skipped, which was houses being constructed. So there will be a meter installed once that house is finished. Then there was also 29 lots that were vacant. There's just no service, so there's no meter. So ultimately, when you add those 30 to the 3498, the total sites, right, is pretty close to 3531. We're about three off from the original count. This is a map. It shows the work that took place. It summarizes the different types of installations. So, you know, there's a lot of data that was collected, and there could be different maps generated. This map is essentially just showing which properties were type 1, which were type 2, which were type 3, which were NA, type NA, basically a special circumstance. And then the white is the vacant parcels, vacant properties. So this is just one way to depict the information of the construction. I usually like to have some kind of visuals. So what you can see, there's the shade, the green shading is the separation of the town into the different phases of work, phases 1 through 7, and then each property itself has, you know, just color designation to show what type it was. They're all installed, except for the one that was skipped. That's that one. So throughout the work, there were some infrastructure upgrades that needed to occur, and these were not part of the meter project. It involved repair and upgrade of district-owned facilities. Specifically, this is regarding the angle meter stops and or the manifolds, which are right at the district side of the connection to the service. There's an isolation valve, and if the valve doesn't operate, then there's no way to install the meter. So as we go through, we're operating the valves. If they're leaking, if they're seized, if they're corroded, or any other way unsuitable to operate, they need to be replaced. And replacing the valves involves shutting down the main line, depressurizing the system. There's a lot of water that needs to be pumped and cleaned up in some cases. Depending on where the service or the manifold is to the sidewalk, there could be sidewalk repairs that need to take place. So it's a bigger scope of work than just installing a meter, is the point of that. And at this point, every single service in the town has an operating valve, and they've all been exercised, so we know that they all work. But in total, about 15% of the sites did have failed AMS valves. 533 in total were replaced, and we know exactly which sites they were, so we've tracked all the information throughout the project. In terms of the acceptance of work from the contractor, we had a daily inspection routine, and that was served several purposes. We were, for one, building a database throughout the project in terms of record keeping by properties. So we were able to say what type took of what meter type there was, whether it was 1, 2, or 3, and whether there was any other special circumstances on the property that needed to be tracked, the service size, the box size, a lot of other information that went into ultimately the installation on that property. There's also monitoring from the inspectors of any sort of extra work, any sort of time and material work. Agreements on scopes and extra works were taking place, and as well as verifying all of the AMS valves. So if a contractor says a valve's not operable, the inspector's going to say, yeah, show me, and they'll operate the valve, and they'll find out for sure if it needs to be replaced. So everything was verified, basically, through that process. And then throughout that 11 periods, there was 11 periods of progress payments. There was 11 months of work, there was 11 progress payments, there was a progress payment every month. And through those, you know, each month, we would do a comparison total. So we would have our database, the contractor would have their numbers, they would say, we want to get paid for this many meters, we did this many 1s, 2s, and 3s. We would look at our numbers, and inevitably, they were usually a little bit off. So we'd spend the time to look at the numbers closely, figure out where the discrepancies were, get anything corrected either on their end or on our end, so that as we go, we're kind of establishing, not letting things kind of get away from us, right? So we're evaluating that throughout the progress payments, evaluating any extra work orders, assuring that whatever the contractor is billing was something that was approved and signed off in the field. And then we're also evaluating budgets as we go through the project in terms of the meter project and upgrades that are taking place, because we know that these are handled separately. In the final progress payment, there was a true up of the meter installations, a final just agreement on everything that was installed. And also during that final payment was when we had the completion of some of the larger obstructions, where we had some large palm trees to deal with in order to get installed. And then following that final payment period, we had a punch list process with the contractor where we met with staff, We looked at all the records. We made sure the contractor had provided all the records under their agreement, and that they completed any cleanup activities. So one of those was removing all the street markings throughout Discovery Bay. They completed all of the punch list items, and that's where that stands. So in terms of the total payments for the project, as I said, there was three different scopes of work that took place. The total payments under the JW contract was $2,345,601.14. We broke these out into different categories of work, different budgets, and the upgrades, well, we could just go down the list if you'd like. It's on the slide, so I guess I will. Meter bid work, which was the bid work from the bid, including the SWEPI, the meter types 1s, 2s, and 3s, anything that the contractor bid on, that was the meter project, and that came out to $1.45 million, approximately. And then the extra work from obstructions, dealing with large trees, bushes, mailboxes, things that were obstructing your work from taking place on a property-by-property basis, totaled $101,000. And the district infrastructure upgrades was approximately $793,000. So at this point, the contractor has completed the work under their contract, and the purpose of this presentation is to recommend making a final retention payment to the contractor of $117,209.87. Thank you. I assume there might be some questions. I can sit down and stay here if you like.
I don't really have any questions. You've been, Johnny, on the spot out there, a couple other folks, and if you feel it's done, then it's done.
So one question would be, you have a one-year warranty.
Yeah.
What's the start date on that warranty?
That is a good question. We set the start date as of the completion of the final meter, which was in November. So there's a one-year warranty starting on November. You would think that maybe they would want to say, hey, how about the first meter was installed and a 1 year beyond that, but they signed a warranty for 1 year from the final meter that was installed. So
good.
Yeah.
Good. Other questions, then? Public comment?
I just lost card for that question.
Please. Thank you, Justin.
Thanks.
In the presentation, you said, I'm sorry, run up to the mic and then you can. Bill Halpert. In the presentation, you showed that the bid payment was $1,400,000-some-odd. But I believe the bid was $1,300,000-some-odd. So we're paying, giving them more than they bid. Is that correct?
Yes.
And if you bid something and say, I'll do this for this, why are we giving them $100,000?
So I can answer that.
Please.
So, to suit observation, there's two key reasons for the difference between the bid quantity and the quantity that was paid under the bid items. The first was the comparison of the meter quantities. So they bid on a very specific number of meter quantities, and it was a itemized per meter installation cost. There was an estimate of how many meters there would be of 1s, 2s, and 3s. And as I pointed out on one of those slides, which you'll probably get there someday, but essentially there was more type 2s than there were type 1s, and more type 3s than there were type 2s than were originally estimated at the onset of the project. That was one key reason for the difference between the cost of what was bid and what was paid. The other key reason has to do with an adjustment to the specification with regard to brass fittings on the installations. We had one period during the beginning of the project, the first or second phase, there was some PVC failures. There were seven or so failures, and it caused quite a turmoil for a few days to address those specific installations. We went and checked, and there wasn't any other issues that we could see, but from that point forward, we changed from a PVC standard to a brass standard because we knew this was a fast-paced project and we didn't want to run into any other issues like that, of failures of PVC because of threading these things, and if you over-tighten them, or even if, you know, the thinking at the time was that we may have gotten, or the contractor may have gotten a bad batch or something of PVC fittings. But essentially we had a failure of about 7. It caused some disruption in the construction process. We agreed on a change to brass fittings, which ultimately was approximately $15 per connection to add brass fittings to the replumbing activities for the type 2s and type 3s. So some of the difference between those costs was an extra item, bid item, so to speak, that was added to modify for a brass fitting installation.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Josh.
Site conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No other comments, question? Any other public comment? Okay, we'll close public comment. That was a presentation, no action required.
Okay. No, they are looking for action, Mr. Vice President. The agenda identifies it as possible action regarding the approval of the notice of completion, and as Justin identified, you'll be paying a retained amount. So if you take action and a motion to file the notice of completion and pay the retained funds, that would be sufficient.
Okay. So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Carried. G4, discussion and possible action required regarding the amendment of the reimbursement of expense and travel policy number 008.
Staff is reviewing many of the policies that are in place for Discovery Bay, and some of them are a little outdated. We reviewed the travel and reimbursement policy 008 and found that the policy was very restrictive in terms of how it tried to interpret the IRS rules for per diem travel and lodging. And this policy has been amended to be in line with the IRS allotments for per diem travel and lodging, as well as some clarification language in some of the authorized expenses.
Clarifying questions? Open it to public comment. No public comment, close public comment. The motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Carried. Manager's report. None. Nothing there. Director's report. See any committees?
We talked about future agenda items. You can tell them what that future agenda item is.
Okay. I attended the ECC FPD on Monday night, and just for information, there were 3 outgoing members of the board, Cheryl Morgan, Bob Kenny, and Joel Bryant. Joel Bryant was the president, and passed off Bryant off it all. So they were recognized by all parties, all groups, for their years of service. New members that took oath was Susan Thompson and Sandra Strobel, who were appointed by the Board of Directors from Costa County. There is another that will replace Joel Bryant. That will be at the next meeting, and I only know him as Smith, and I don't know his first name. It was in the press. They had one other piece in there, a normal business as we have. Informational staff reports. They report on the district pulse point program, and I think it's something that Discovery Bay should look at. Discovery Bay has a majority of its calls regarding or pertaining to medical needs versus fire. Pulse point is one of those that locate where 8 AEDs are, and the fire department has been working closely with Bethel Island to identify where the AEDs are. I've been in discussion with them, and we have 3 in Discovery Bay, which is far fewer than we should have. I believe there's 1 in the town office.
Yes.
There is 1 in the gym across the street in Dash, and there is 1 at a private residence, which really isn't counting on the logs, but we still have it logged over on Sandpoint.
They're by the wastewater plant.
Is there? Okay. I'll mark that down. They have not got that identified. So it's a good discussion, and in future topics, I'll bring up a piece that might benefit Discovery Bay. So that was it for BCCFB. Any other reportable items? General Manager, if you could.
I'd like to just give you an update when we get to future agenda items.
All right. And correspondence received, we move future action items.
You probably heard there's quite a buzz around town about the fact that the county has swept all the unincorporated area into the Marin clean energy concept, and that it requires all of our residents to make a decision in terms of whether they want to opt out of that program, which will take effect the beginning of April. Our town has several, I believe it's seven PG&E bills that we receive for various sites around our town, and we're going to have to make a decision on whether or not we are going to opt out or whether or not we are going to continue with the default Marin clean energy. So to get educated on this, I have invited MCE to come out at our next meeting and give a presentation, and then we will also ask at the conclusion of that if you're ready to make a decision on whether the town should opt out or stick with MCE. Just, that'll be on the
list. You're going to send them the grand jury and you're going to invite Eugenia. Did you want to include that?
Yeah, I found a grand jury report, a Marine grand jury report that has a counter position to MCE, so that will be included in the packet as kind of the other side. And we're also going to invite PG&E to give you a presentation from their point of view. We don't know if they're going to take us up on that yet.
Future agenda item, I'd like to have an agenda item that allows the city town manager to go out and look for legal counsel along the lines of assessments. We have an assessment district, and it was brought up by the public. I brought it up, we all brought it up at the last workshop, that we need to find a way to help offset the cost of the community center. And I think by getting educated through an assessment lawyer who specializes in this, because there's assessment districts set up for new subdivisions pretty much weekly throughout California. So there's some expertise out there that I think we should at least get an update from, so we'll know how difficult it is to change, if you can even change them. Can they be increased? Can they be consolidated? So kind of get us up to speed to know what we have to do to discuss this with the county, and help that at least take a look at the possibility of some funding sources. So I'd like to have that on the next agenda to give staff approval to search for that.
Okay. So noted. Any other? The only other one that I would like to bring up is to have staff communicate with Battalion Chief Rossberger to see if we can get a presentation to the staff on the use of AEDs within Discovery Bay and see how that works out with the Pulse Point. See if we have any opportunities. Okay?
Okay.
No more? Okay, then I believe legal.
Thank you. Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors will adjourn into closed session per the item listed on the agenda as 01.